Hi, everybody. I'm Joey Kim, an alcoholic. And I want to thank Damien for asking me to come and speak to everybody. And hey, I want to welcome the newcomers, Dan, both Roberts, one of whom I went through Pathfinders with, Colin, Jake, Lance, Ron, Hanson, John, Nick, Kyle, and Alex, and to our 90-day taken tokers, Gary, Aaron, Steve. You know, 10 minutes doesn't provide you a lot of time to do drunkle logs, backstory, or much of anything. You kind of got to get to, the solution. And so naturally, I mean, I have to aim this at you newcomers. You know, I don't know if this is your first meeting, if it's your first time getting sober, but, I know how afraid I was before I came in here. I was afraid to come into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to get sober. Fear pretty much dominated my life, and I think that a lot of people in this room could speak to that. I guess the first thing that I wanted to do, just in case you didn't know, was, define what we define, alcoholism as, or what an alcoholic is. It might sound familiar. As an alcoholic, me, I can't stay away from the first drink, no matter what. I mean, my mother could be going through major surgery. I could be having the most important interview of my life. My obsession with the drink means that I am going to take it no matter what. And then the second thing is that once I take that drink, all bets are off. I don't really know how or where it's going to end. I could have two drinks and go home and everything's cool, or I could wind up, drunk behind the dumpster at the 7-Eleven. And a lot of misadventures, a lot of strange and tragic things, as our friend Charlie from Pathfinders would say. This is the damnedest disease that I know of. It's got three components. The first is mental. It's that obsession that I talked about that makes us take that first drink. The second is physical. Taking that drink triggers a physical allergy, this thing that we call a phenomenon of craving, where I have to have more. And then the third aspect of it is spiritual, I was spiritually sick probably before I started drinking, but I certainly became much more spiritually sick after my alcoholism really got underway. And, we talk about causes and conditions in AA because we all have reasons why we drank. I mean, some of us didn't really have necessarily any problems with family. We were relatively happy. We just wanted to drink because we wanted to drink. It was the thing to do. And then there was some invisible line in the sand somewhere that we crossed, and suddenly we were alcoholic, I know for me there were reasons why alcohol really kind of helped me, because I had this sort of a stifling anxiety that was with me from the time I was a child. My dad was a really sick diabetic, and he had to retire by the time I was in kindergarten. He was mostly bedridden. He had a lot of difficulty getting around. And he was pretty emasculated, a lot of his manhood was taken away from him, and that was a tough thing for a young boy growing up to see. On the flip side of the coin, my mom was superwoman with an afterburner. She was an incredibly strong character, very intelligent, a master henpecker, and a ballbuster extraordinaire. So I lost my dad when I was 12. And so I'm being raised by a really strong Mexican woman. Dad was Irish, by the way. And, it's a pretty tough thing to try to navigate your adolescent years without your father. Interestingly enough, I didn't drink when I was in high school, not regularly. There were some parties that I went to. I did drink. I didn't, drink to excess. I had a mom to return to that I was kind of a little bit scared of. And so... And well, the other thing, too, was that I had a sister who was, even today, she's a teetotaler. So we were a team, and I would help her by going out with her to parties, because my mom felt better if she was escorted by me. So I wasn't going to screw things up for her by getting into trouble. I really loved and respected my sister, and I wanted us to go out and have a good time. The point was trying to be social. The point was trying to be accepted. The point was not to feel so anxious as I felt, but of course, I just always felt like people were just sort of like, get him. See that guy over there? God, what is he doing here? Oh, okay, we'll let him stay. Whatever, I'm sure he won't drink even his weight in beer. But my drinking really started when I was in college, when I left home, And I made up for lost time pretty quickly. I was already asking myself the question about whether I was an alcoholic at about 28, but I was framing it in this manner. I would look at a night where I had blacked out or where I'd said something completely wrong to a coworker or somebody's girlfriend, and afterwards I would say, you know what, I'm drinking like an alcoholic. I better watch out. I really better watch it. I could become one. I was probably already an alcoholic at that point. I had no idea what an alcoholic was. All I knew was that I was pretty afraid and anxious most of the time. And, you know, we have this wonderful text that is the backbone of our fellowship called the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's a lot of wonderful information in there. I suggest you pick it up. One of the things that I gravitated towards was a line that read that fear was a corrosive thread that ran through the fabric of our lives, and that fear should be classed with stealing. You know, it causes just as many, if not more, problems. Fear in my life has caused a great degree of anger, a great degree of resentment. And, even when I thought I might have had it under control or stuffed down underneath, boy, did it come out sometimes, especially when I was drinking. There was a lot of people that I hurt. There were a lot of untoward things that I said. My story doesn't include DUIs or jail. It certainly will if I decide to go back out drinking. The sad thing for me, and again, I'm speaking to the newcomer because I we all hope that we say something that you identify with and that you think, well, maybe this program could be for me. By the time I got to my, let's say about 37 or 38, I'm going to be 45 in June. I knew I was an alcoholic. I actually had that talk with myself where I said, I'm an alcoholic. I know I am. I don't really know what to do about it. But I essentially told myself, but I don't deserve to get sober. What's the point of getting sober? I don't really think too highly of myself. And there were some more choice words than that, by the way. I really just ping-ponged back and forth between, hatred and self-pity. And, that was the way I ran my life and my head, or the way my head ran me. I really didn't think that it was going to do any good to get sober because, in the first place, I wasn't going to have alcohol to numb the pain anymore. Bad idea. And in the second place, I was just going to screw it up again. I was still going to be a phony. People were going to see that I was a phony. I wasn't going to amount to much of anything. I was probably going to be a ne'er-do-well. And, what was the point? Interestingly enough, so at that point I said, I'm just going to do the best that I can to carry on. Even the book talks about that. We talks about how some of us decided that we were just going to try to manage it the best we could, to the bitter end, and, that was the best that some of us could do. Well, I said that, and it's incredible to me. My life went from bumpy to a runaway freight train immediately. The moment that I voiced those things to God, the universe, and myself, I really started to get out of control. Things were just horrid. I lost a job, a good job with the San Diego Padres. It was really the first good job that I ever had in my life, working in the front office, and I really enjoyed it, and I was pretty good at it. By the end, I was in a job that I was not very well suited for, and we had an ownership change, and that was pretty rough on everybody. It was rougher on me because I was trying to get sober and having a difficult time doing so. I found that I had to let the job go. Essentially what happened was I pulled the ripcord and parachuted out before they fired me. And I went to Pathfinders. Pathfinders, for those of you who don't know, is a recovery home for homeless alcoholic men. I was, at that point, wanting so much to get sober that particular title didn't bother me in the least. I wanted to get sober. I already at that point had picked a good sponsor that I was very grateful for. He had been with me for a year. I drank twice at 6 months. And I went in there, and I just decided that I was going to get busy and get to work, For me, the first three steps were easy because I always believed in God. I just realized that I hadn't cultivated a very good relationship with God. I was one of those people that called on my God whenever I was in trouble and just largely ignored it for much of the rest of the time. Rediscovering that relationship and working on it has been a wonderful revelation. You know, I had skeletons in my closet when I got to steps 4 and 5, and, you know, that's the one where you've got to, like, take this fearless searching moral inventory of yourself, and you have to share it with God and another human being in the next step, step 5. I had skeletons in my closet that really rankled me, and one in particular was something that I carried around with me. There was not one day that passed in 7 years that I didn't think about this particular thing, and it was a sexual thing. And it's, you know, in a setting like this, it's not in good taste to share with you what it is. Let's just say that it's probably as bad as what you have that you don't want to share either. But the moment that I did, there was a wonderful sort of cleansing wave of forgiveness that went through me. You know, God, we talk about God's grace and God's, you know, that to me, grace is simply that there's forgiveness even where it's not deserved, you know. So when I got that, I decided that I was just going to keep going with the program. And, you know, even when it came to making amends, the one that I was most afraid to make amends for, to my ex-girlfriend, she told me, I don't really want to talk to you. I'll let you know when I want to talk to you, right? Wow, right? Okay. That's the one that I was the scaredest of, and I got past it. Well, guess what, people? That was 4 years ago, and there's not too many days that go by that I don't think about her, and I don't think about that amends that I haven't gotten to make yet. I can only stand ready to make it whenever the opportunity presents itself. I have a design for living now that really works. The wonderful thing about the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is it relieved that obsession that I talked about to drink. And once that happened, I realized that these 12 steps were applicable to every part of my life. All the things that had plagued me beforehand about not living well, hating myself, etc. Well, you know what? The big book says that my main purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. I am truly, truly grateful that the Alcoholics Anonymous has shown me that way. So thanks very much.